You're listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 24, our hosts, Mitch Glenn and Brad Weekman, interviewed 2019 Toyota Bassmaster Angler of the Year, Scott Canterbury. The Bassmaster Elite Series Pro talks about the challenges of winning the Angler of the Year award and his tournament success this year. Canterbury visits about his Halo Signature Series rods, how important fish management is during tournaments, and how he uses Fish Life Fish Care products to keep bass alive. Tackle Time features Pico Lures, Tide Treble Hooks. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Weekman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish, to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the easy keeper coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. I'm your host, Brad Weekman, along with my co-host, Mitch Glenn.
Hey, Brad, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good.
Man, you know, we've had a couple of elite anglers along this show before, but this week I'm going to bring you not only an elite angler, but the 2019 Toyota Angler of the Year, Bassmaster Angler, Scott Canterbury.
Hey, guys, how's it going, man? I appreciate y'all inviting me on the show today.
I know.
Great to hear from you.
I usually see you in person, so this is a little different.
It's a little different, man. Yeah, we've done a lot together over the years, but it's good to hear from you. And, I'm excited to be on the show. I appreciate y'all's time.
Yeah. And so tell people that I doubt if someone hasn't heard about you, but maybe they've been in a cave. Tell them a little bit about a quick history of your professional fishing career.
Yeah, I mean, I went through the ranks. I fished the Bass Opens, I fished the BFLs and the String Series on the FLW side, and ended up qualifying for FLW. I fished 2008. I was Rookie of the Year at FLW, had a really good career over there. Fished for, 11 years FLW, ended up swapping over to fish the Bass Elite side, the Bassmaster side, and there was a lot of variables went into me making that decision, but the Classic was the biggest thing. I always wanted to fish in the Bassmasters Classic. So ended up having a really, really stellar year my first year on the Elites, and I won Angler of the Year last year, and it was just an awesome year. Great way to start it out. Hopefully I can have a long career over here as I did at FLW.
There you are. So, it's good. And you are from Alabama. Is that right?
I am. Yeah, I am. Odenville, Alabama. Just central Alabama. I'm about 25, 30 minutes east of Birmingham, Alabama. So central Alabama. And lived there my whole life. Lived in Moody. Grew up in Moody and just moved 5 miles down the road to Odenville.
Let's talk a little bit about, because I know you were FLW and you fished on Beaver Lake and you won the Beaver Lake tournament, the FLW tournament on that. Tell people a little bit about that and tell them who your co-angler was in that, because I actually was in a pocket and there you were with this gentleman and I was like,
yeah,
that's
the year I won. I think the first day of that tournament. It might have been the second. I can't remember, but I fished with Eric Jackson, world champion kayaker.
Oh, wow.
And it was pretty neat, meeting him and spending some time in the boat with him, and had a great time that year. Beaver actually ended up being one of my favorite lakes. The first year we went, I probably finished in the hundreds. And then after that, I sort of settled down. And, you know, I was leading one time going into day four. I should have won that event. I got several top tens on it and ended up winning. Might have been the last time I fished there. I ended up winning that tournament. Won it up in the river section. You know, the whole lake, it was a weird deal that year. And, you know, I always fish mid-lake up. It seemed to do better. That first year we went, I fished a lot on the very lower end and just got spread a little thin and didn't do so good. And then I sort of concentrated where there was a little watercolor and to up the river where it had a lot of watercolor sometimes. And the year I won, we had a lot of watercolor mid-lake, and the fishing was phenomenal. And I think one of the reasons I never could win up the river was the same reason Andy Morgan didn't win up the river and Jay Yellis didn't win up the river. And all of us river rats love to fish up there. And we were all fishing up the river every year. And we all done good every year, it seemed to. But we split it up so much. But that year, the midsection of the lake had so much watercolor, all of those guys stayed down there. And I did too the first day. Until after lunch, and I went up the river, and it just seemed to be, I got better quality, and it got better and better as the tournament went on, and I sort of was able to run history places, knowing I knew that lake as well as I knew Logan Martin that I lived on as far as in the springtime, because we went every year, and you spend a week on that body of water every year, and you sort of get to where you know it, and I really enjoyed fishing there and had a great time, and was able to get a win that year, catching them all on a jig too, and that's my favorite way to fish.
Yeah, my kind of deal right there.
I caught them on a Canterbury signature series. I caught them the first couple of days when it was a weird deal that we were warming up. No fish were spawning until about the third day of the tournament. And I knew when I started seeing fish spawning, I knew exactly what kind of stuff to run. But I was catching them on bluff ends the first couple of days on a little compact series jig, compact pitching jig from Dirty Jigs Tackle. And it sort of, when I started getting bit right on the bank and sort of seeing fish, I moved up to the Canterbury Signature Series 5/8 out so I'd have the boat a lot closer to the bank, and I was able to just cover a lot more water, be a lot more efficient and cover water with that heavier jig and a bigger rod in my hand. And once I dialed it in, it got easier and easier. Everybody caught them that year. It was not like it was an easy win, but it was easy to catch fish.
Mitch is a big jig man.
Yeah. I live on this dude. You'd love it right now. We got 5 foot of water in the willow bushes right now.
Oh gosh, I'd have a ball. Yeah,
there ain't a freaking soul on this lake fishing in them.
Golly.
Brad and I fished a crappie tournament a couple of weeks ago, and we're up there trolling flats and everything, and the bass guys are out there fishing bluff ends and bluff walls and what have you, and the willow trees are just sitting out there dropping mayflies in the water, and you can just hear the bass getting fatter underneath them, you know.
I learned a lot at Beaver. John Cox always done well up there. This buck brush as shallow as you could possibly get in an aluminum boat every year, and I don't know that he won one there, but he scared a bunch of wins to death on Beaver for sure.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about being the 2019 Bassmaster Elite Series Angler of the Year.
You know, a lot of people talk about it. You know, it's great. It's a notch in the belt that you never gets old hearing that. You never, you know, I look at that trophy and I never get tired of looking at it. And, you know, financially it was great. The sponsors really helped out afterwards. But, you know, that's something as an angler, as a competitor, that we all strive to do no matter what. I mean, winning a tournament's great. Winning classics is the best win you can get, but the hardest title there is in bass fishing is to win Angler of the Year, and that's been my goal. I wanted it, you know, at the grassroots level. I finished second at the AAA levels, at the Strand Series and stuff, but I never did win it there. And to come out on top and win it at the Elite Series was just an amazing accomplishment last year. And it's just something. We had 10 tournaments, and I mean, everything has to go right. You can't have a bad tournament, and it was just an amazing year. Like, I'd get behind, and it seemed like every time I made a move, it was the right move. Every time I changed, I stayed ahead of the fish. I mean, we started off the year St. John's River, a place I'd never been. Five of those 10 tournaments were on places I'd never been in my life, is what was really a big deal to me. And that was made it, I mean, it made it a little more special, but it's the way I fish better. I fish better when I really don't have history. I get caught up running history, and it'll hurt you. But we started out that year at St. John's River, and I think I caught 12 pounds the first day fishing shell bed with a rattle trap and stuff. And I was in about 50th place or something. And I mean, I could have went out and caught 12 or 13 more pounds, I thought, and probably got a top 40, $10,000 check. But I mean, they were playing the national anthem at Splash Off the second morning, and I had two rattle baits laid on the deck. And I just told my co-angler when they got done, I sat there and thought about it the whole time. And when they got done with the national anthem, I told them, and Trip Weldon was sitting on the dock. And I said, man, I'm not doing that again. I said, let's go flip. I said, I'm going to go flip all day. If I catch two that weighs 12 pounds, that's just as good as catching a limit that weighs 12 pounds. And I caught 26 pounds that day. And then I caught 31 to set the third day. I mean,
wow.
It seemed like every time I made that move, it was the right thing to do. And it happens all during the year that way. It just, and that's when it's going right. I've been on the other side when you can't make a good call and you can't make a good decision, and it's hard to get out of that. But when you got confidence in what you're doing and things are working, it seems like that confidence, you just got to listen to your gut. And that's what I did all year.
And part of the reward of being Angler of the Year is actually having lures named after you and people wanting them. But you also have a series of rods that are basically the Scott Canterbury series rods, right?
I do. I've been with Halo for probably 6 years now. And, you know, it's weird. We were working on those before I won. And that's what was weird about it. I was working on those rods last year during the season and even using a lot of prototypes during the season last year. But they really jumped on board wanting to build a signature series rod. And it's been great for me. It's been fun to do. We went through a lot of prototypes. And the guys told me, it was interesting, but the guys told me, you know, I was using titanium series Halo rods. And they said, hey, we can do whatever you want to do. It's going to be up to you. If you want a $300 rod, that's what we'll do. And everybody I talked to in the industry, and I do a lot with college kids, talking to them. I do a lot with high school fishing. I'm a boat captain when I'm at home. I do a lot with them. And talking to people in retail, in the business, you know, if I could keep it, they thought I would sell more rods if we could keep it at that, in a price range that everybody could afford. We built a $129 rod that I'm using on the Bassmaster Elite Series. So I know it's good enough for my buddies that are weekend guys, kayak fishermen. No matter what, we got a rod for you that you can afford, all the way up to if you fish for a living, fishing the Bassmaster Elite Series, I'm using them all year and competing. So, you know, we built a really quality rod at a price that people could afford. We got 6 casting rods right now and 1 spinning rod. Hopefully we'll add to that lineup, but it's been fun. It's been really good, and to see people sending you pictures, high school kids and college kids or tournament anglers fishing all over the state, sending you pictures and telling you they caught a bass on a rod with your name on it's pretty cool. It's been fun. And like I said, I won Beaver Lake fishing a Canterbury Signature Series jig, and I've been fishing jigs and Canterbury Pro Buzz. I finished 2nd in 2 Forestwood Cups on it, baits with your name on it, for a long time. But this year, to see a rod with your name on it and get to use it and people, other people using it, it's pretty cool. And it just sort of solidified that, you know, to what I have finally made it to where I am, you know, where I wanted to be.
That's a refreshing piece of marketing right there, Scott.
It really truly is
from where I'm coming from. Try to keep something that the average man, average working Joe can afford to use what the elite pros are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm using them and got a lot of other guys using them. And like I said, I've got buddies that are just weekend guys that work every day and they go get jump in a kayak and go creek fishing on Saturdays and they love them. So, I mean, it's been fun to do and it's been very rewarding. And, you know, I've been blessed my whole career to see things like that evolve. It's been really, you know, made That's it awesome. All worth what yeah. it is.
Something else that is a product that you're endorsing and talking about is Fish Life Fish Care Products. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I got with them this year, Randall Carter Fish Tournaments around me my whole life, and I've known him a long time, and he bought the company, and I just questioned him. I said, you know, nobody cares about our future as much as guys that are doing it for a living. I mean, the fish are our future. If we don't take care of our resources and take care of our fish, our grandkids or our kids, they won't be able to enjoy what we do and what we're able to enjoy now. And taking care of our fish, and, you know, not only taking care of them so they can catch them, but, I mean, if we have a fish that passes or, you know, you have a dead fish or something, and people have them. Don't get me wrong. I've been really blessed and fortunate. I have not in many years now. But if you have a fish die on you, I mean, it cost us 8 ounces, and it could cost you, I mean, I've lost a forest wood cup $500,000 by 1 ounce. I didn't have a dead fish, but I mean, I've seen people lose a tournament. I've seen a lot of people lose a tournament, a title, a trophy, a blue trophy, or by an ounce or two, and they had a dead fish or two that week. So being able to take care of our fish and our resources is really big and important to me, and I wanted to help him spread the word. And he makes great products as far as from fizzing needles to weights to keep the equilibrium of the fish up, fin weights. And then he's got chemicals that for your water, just like a lot of people do, that really help take care of the fish, the slime coat, reduce stress while the fish is in a live well. But he's got other treatments. We've got a first aid that I've used so much. Everybody catches a fish in a tournament, you'll see them pour Mountain Dew in their throat or whatever, if they cut a gill or something. And, you know, a Mountain Dew, a carbonated drink, does, some reason, stop the bleeding. But it's not helping that sore or that fish, that cut, heal. And we've got a first aid in Fish Life Fish Care that is specifically designed for tongue-hooked and deep-hooked fish. You can tongue-hook a fish on a frog or something right through the tongue. If you pull that out and put him in your live well, he's going to die. I mean, I just think he's going to die 90% of the time. Well, this first aid, you put that on there, pull the hook out, put some more on there, and put your treatment in your live well, and your fish are going to be fine. It's an amazing product. And then he's got a live well cleaner. People don't clean their live wells, and you go from the carbon dioxide, the bad stuff that builds up in the live well, the foam above your water level, when you have fish in it, and it just builds up a bad scum line, and all that is carried on from lake to lake. We got live well cleaner that you can actually, I mean, you could drink, I can squirt it in my mouth and it's not going to hurt me. So I know it's good for the fish, but I can clean my live wells in between every tournament, make sure I'm not having any bad chemicals or harmful things in my live well. And it really takes care of the fish. Run it through your pumps, your bilge pumps and stuff. It helps, I mean, your live well pumps, it really helps them get full efficiency out of them. And it just makes good products that helps take care of our resources.
So that Mountain Dew, that thing, that only works on Alabama spotted bass, Mountain Dew.
It works on a lot of fish.
We use Dr. Pepper on them up here in Beaver Lake.
Yeah, I mean, I carry Sprites in my boat, what I carry. Something that if I spilled it on the carpet, you couldn't see it.
Yeah, I always figured the Dr. Pepper, you know, it was a doctor for something. Yeah. I always doctored fish with Dr. Pepper.
That probably works too.
Well, that sounds like a really cool product, Scott. Right.
It is. He's got some great stuff, and it's been fun to watch it grow in places all over. I mean, Tackleware everywhere has got it around the house now.
Okay, that's what I was about to ask you. Where can our listeners find that stuff?
I'm sure everywhere around Alabama seems to carry it now, and I'm pretty sure that Tackleware
okay.
I don't know for sure that they do. I can tell you in just a second.
Yeah.
But,
hey, while
it's
you're
a great product for sure.
Tell me, I let you slip on this, but I can imagine that the only thing you use a spinning rod for is like to keep your live well lids open or your lids open in your boat, right? Is that what you use yours for? Because you're like all those people in Alabama, and I go fishing with them, and they're like, okay, we got like 16 bait casting rods. They all got braid on or something. And then they got this one lonely spinning rod, and it's down there, and it's got line on that's been on there since 1930, probably. And they're like, yeah, we got one series of spinning rod.
Well, there's still some leftover egg residue from when they used the reel to whip up their omelet that morning, too.
That's right. Now, I just built one spinning rod last year, and it's not a specific rod. It's just a good all-around spinning rod. I built it for shaky head fishing, brush piles and stuff, what we do on the Coosa River for those spots.
Right.
It's a little bit, I learned that it's a little bit heavy, a little bit stiff for the smallmouth up north. So I've been using KS2s and stuff up north for smallmouth. And I've got a lot of spinning rods, and I learned to use them. And if you didn't learn to use them, you wasn't going to be very consistent and very versatile on tour. That's one thing I had to learn is, when I started professionally fishing, I had a jig in my hand, and I learned real quick that you was not going to be very consistent if you weren't very versatile. So I pride myself on being very versatile out on the water and trying to catch fish no matter what it takes. I don't care if I've got 6-pound line and a spinning rod in my hand or a flipping stick, an 8-foot flipping stick with 25 or 65-pound braid on it. As long as my rod's bent, I'm happy. So, you know, you got to learn to do it all for sure. And I did look, Tackle Warehouse does have all of Fish Life Fish Care products under Fish Life. So it's great to get it. You know, it's grown and got it. I've seen it in stores all over the country now. So, I mean, it's available just about anywhere.
So tell us about electronics now. Electronics seem to be like, that seems to be like what people are talking about. That seems to be the hot topic, even more than lures. That seems to be, how many units can you put on your boat, and do you need, you know, 5 or 6 batteries to run them?
You know, I've ran 4 ever since I started just about, and I've ran Lowrance's ever since I've been going. And this year I went to 3 grounds. I've got 1 at the console. I run a 16, though, instead of having 2 12s, and I'm really liking it. It looks a lot cleaner and finished, but then I've got 2 12s on the front. That's where we do most of our work, is from the front deck. And, you know, with the new forward-facing sonars and everything that we have live sight with Lowrance. I would not have won Angler of the Year without it last year. I wouldn't have caught a lot of the fish that I've caught this year, especially at Champlain last week or 2 weeks ago. I caught a lot of my fish, seeing them swimming above the grass out in front of the boat and pitch to them and catch them. So it's a great thing, and a lot of lotto companies got it. I think Garmin probably started it with the Panoptics, and everybody's sort of caught up, and it's great. But yeah, I don't run but 1 battery, but I run a Lithium Pro battery, and does all of my, everything I need to do. And, you know, I mean, that's, if you do run 5 grams, I would think you need to run an extra battery or something. When I ran 4 batteries, I really never even ran mine down then. It's a matter of, if you get up from the console, it's putting them on pause.
Uh-huh.
putting them on standby, and that light behind the screen really drains your batteries down. I've been known to be one of those guys that stays on the move and runs a lot, and that probably helps keep my batteries up a little fresher when I'm running around all the time.
Right.
All right, Scott, we sure appreciate you taking some time. I know you're on the road and you're headed to another tournament, and so I appreciate you taking the time to visit with us.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity. Always, always have, and looking forward to talking again soon. We're headed to Detroit right now. We're going up to Lake St. Clair for more smallmouth action. It's going to be on ESPN2 next week. We'll have 19 hours. It's going to be great. But you can look it up on Bass Live all week. It's going to be fun. Lots of big smallmouth will be caught, and be a lot of spinning rods used.
Yeah, and so people don't know, but look up the Miracle Mile and see what it means.
Yeah. We're going out of Metro Park now, so the river, Detroit River, is off limits to us, so we don't get to run the Miracle Mile, but I've ran it a lot of times, and it is a miracle when you get through it with your back not hurt.
That's exactly right. All right, yeah. Thanks, Scott.
Hey, Mitch, Brad, I appreciate it, guys, anytime.
All right, thanks.
You bet, man. Great talking with you. Good luck up there.
Good talking to you. Hey, thanks. I appreciate that.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass jig heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, Tackle Time this week. Let's feature a Tide treble hook, feather dress treble hook with a little bit of Mylar flash. You want to add a little bit of excitement to your bait? Check out Pico Lures. We got four different colors and two different sizes of these things. Add one of these to a topwater bait, even add it to a crankbait. Gives you that little bit of extra minnow-looking flash behind the thing. You can use them in bites. We got reds. We got fire tigers. All of them got a little bit of Mylar flash to them. Just adds a little extra spice to that bait. Gives something for that fish to home in on, and what he's homing in on is the hook this way. Give it a try.
There you go. What a great show. I love having people on that I've been in the boat with, and Scott Canterbury, I've been in the boat with a bunch, and so it's always nice to actually get to have them on the show.
Angler of the year, man. What an award to win. Consistent all year. It's like demands respect from your peers to do that.
Absolutely. So thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate us, leave us a review of our show.
Yeah, tell us what you want to hear about.
There you go. For Mitch and myself, keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water.